What's up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy. Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Daddy. Back at it again.
I'm still here.
Wow. Welcome.
Thanks for housing me.
You're welcome. Guys, as you can tell by our voices,
we're sober.
Lauren and I are sitting on the couch. And for this episode today,
everyone sit in the circle while Mrs. Cooper
reads all of you illiterate fucks a book. Today is going to be Daddy Daycare, where I read you all a book and you all listen. No, sort of. Lauren and I figured we're going to have a little book club today.
We're going to remind you that we do more than sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Absolutely. After you spend time in Vegas and then you talk about it for 60 minutes on a podcast, talking about blacking out and barfing, I figure today it's like, what is the opposite? Naturally, book club. Okay, people, balance. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, and book clubs. So in the spirit of not being high or intoxicated, we figured why not bring...
Take your molly before this.
Lauren's rolling. So we figured why not throw a little fucking Esther Perel in here and really raise the level of education on this podcast today. Daddy Gang, you're currently joining Lauren and I in book club. This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Daddy Gang, I get that there are some things you don't want to share, but bottling everything up inside can truly have some awful consequences. I remember growing up, I guess honestly the truth is I was getting bullied and I was like so embarrassed to tell my family that because at home I was fine, but at school it was tough for me and I just remember feeling so awful about myself and I kept it to myself and I dealt with it by myself and it literally just caused truly maybe like a decade of trauma. And later in life, now that I've processed it, I'm like, damn, I would have been so much better off if I had just talked to someone about it. And it didn't even have to be my parents. Talking helps a lot. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I have had such an incredible relationship and experience with therapy. I was so ready to get better and to better myself and to understand myself more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists whenever you need to for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/daddy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/daddy. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com.
I have been reading a book that has taken me literally 7 months to read.
And I've read it in one day.
Yeah. Lauren quickly was like, let me read chapter one. And so we're starting with chapter one. So if you fucks want to like catch up and go get this book, it's called Mating in Captivity. And it is actually pretty eye opening, as delirious as we are. It's pretty amazing. And so we wanted to talk about some of it and just discuss it because we have nothing else to talk about this
week. We've already told you all our secrets.
So
here's the premise of the book. In this book, Esther Perel set out to, quote, know if it's possible to keep desire alive in a long-term relationship to avoid its usual wear. And she wants to know how or if you can hold on to that sense of aliveness and excitement in relationships.
When you look at dating, we are essentially walking contradictions. When you are single and you start to date, you're looking essentially at some point for safety and predictability and stability. But once you get that, you start to crave the novelty and the change and the diversity and the instability. And so basically Esther is like, can you keep passion alive
while having a relationship that's safe and predictable, which everyone wants, while also pursuing a relationship that is exciting, mysterious, and awe-inspiring? End quote. Those were not my own words.
Yeah, please don't even get it twisted. Let's start book club. If that made no fucking sense to you and you're like so confused already, don't worry. We are about to use our personal experiences and tie it into this book because I think that makes it more
comprehensible.
Lauren and I were talking about how we both have kind of experienced these extremes, because Esther is talking about the extremes, like the extreme stable, so like there is no passion left, or the extreme unstable, that it's like it's so hot, passionate sex, but it's so unpredictable. And Lauren and I feel like we both have those separate experiences.
Yeah.
So Lauren's 7-year relationship was on the stability end. Mm-hmm. He was your best friend. He was never going to cheat on you. He was never going to like really hurt you. But there was zero passion.
Yeah.
I think the lack of intimacy in your relationship genuinely affected you.
Yeah. Like, although I was in a relationship and living with the person, like, I felt so alone and unwanted, and to the point where it made me turn inwards and be like, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't my own boyfriend want me?
But I did get upset for you because didn't people DM you after that breakup episode?
Yeah, people DM'd me and were like, you're the problem. Like, what's wrong with society? That love and that spark doesn't last forever. That's a fantasy.
And that's not, no.
That's not the case. Don't let people tell you, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, stay suck with it someone. Up. Like, suck it up. If you are not,
like, he's a good guy. He's done nothing wrong to you. How dare you leave him?
That, just because they didn't quote unquote do something to you doesn't mean you ever have to stay. If you don't personally feel it within yourself and you know that, like, in your gut, like, there's more, or even if there's not more, it's just not right, leave.
Yeah.
And that's why I commend you. I think it's interesting because then I had been on the other end of it in a relationship where it was only the instability and the allure of, like, not the unknown and, like, the eroticism of, like, the unpredictability. I never felt safe in that relationship, which can make for great sex. But as humans, we naturally are going to crave more. We want connection, not just physical. We want safety and security. But again, once we get that, then we want to go back to the unpredictability. So it's like this vicious cycle, I feel like, that Esther does a really amazing job of outlining in this book.
She brings up this term called otherness, which, very simply put, is when you see your partner as a whole and different person, individual and unique from yourself. Because in relationships, she explains that people have a tendency to couple where you and your partner fill the need and take on the role that the other one needs you to be in that relationship. And in the process, you lose a sense of yourself and you lose that sense of otherness, that unique quality that originally attracted you to your partner.
The term otherness was a term that Orna Guralnick and I discussed in my episode Couples Therapy. If you guys haven't listened to that one, go listen to it. It was amazing. And I remember the concept of otherness. People started writing in being like, holy fuck, I'm realizing I'm literally being what my boyfriend needs me to be, and I no longer know who the fuck I even am. I feel like, I mean, you opened up to me.
Oh, for sure. That 100% happened to me in my last relationship. I don't think my boyfriend saw me as a unique individual, as like a person. I think he saw me as the role that he needed me to be for him and that I was filling. I was constant. I was reliable. I was non-confrontational. I didn't question anything he did. I was always there smiling and nodding, and that's what he needed and that's what I was doing, but that's not who I am.
And I think as your friend, and we can get into this later, like you, I think, started to lose yourself more through that because you never were voicing your actual
in that process. Yeah. I like internalized that's how to be in life, like just
passive
go through, yes, and just go through the motions, and like that was bleeding into all aspects of my life.
Like you used to get, I remember, like you'd be upset about something, share it with me about him, and then all of a sudden you'd be like, we're going to dinner, and I'd be like, wait, Lauren, did you like tell him you're upset? And you're like, no, it's fine, it's fine.
But
it's
I was
fine.
Doing that with everyone.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's important to also recognize that as much as you filled a role for him, he was fully filling a role for you.
Oh, entirely. Like that's, I think, is the essence of this coupling process. It's like a two-way street. Otherwise, why would you both be there?
It's like you literally look at your partner at times and they're just a blurred image, and you like draw in what you want them to be.
Exactly. Like, and now stepping out of the relationship, it's so much easier to figure out who I am and my sense of self, like independent of anyone else.
When you told me the other day, you're like, who was I the past 7 years of my life?
Do you know who you are right now?
No.
Does anyone?
No. Like, I think
that's what it is. It's like an evolution. Like, we're not stagnant. We're constantly growing and changing and evolving. And like, I think it's good to have some touch and some connection to who you are.
But I think
but
once
you
figure that out,
the answer is a no, because it's going to keep always changing.
Dude, the minute you figure yourself out when you're like 21, then all of a sudden 26, you're going to be a different person.
Yeah.
So I think for you, it's just important to not be like beat yourself up about like those past few
years.
Yeah,
not to be completely disconnected to who I am as a person, but I don't have to have all the answers.
Facts.
She was talking about how this has arisen as a result of like modern things. And I thought she was going to say like social media and stuff, but she was like, people now are isolated. Like, you grow up and it's very common to move away from friends and family.
Yeah.
And like, you move away with a partner and you're in this new area, just you and your partner. And then you start relying on that partner for everything. And there's no opportunity for otherness. And that made me think of like you when you moved out here.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Like, I definitely think it's been like a big transition for me. Every relationship I've ever had in my life, I feel like I fall into like the not stable. In the case of like,
you're not stable, the relationship.
The relationship. Every person I've ever dated, I feel like confident in myself. So I seek someone to like give me that thrill and that instability almost, because like that's what I'm looking for. And then I think this is the first relationship that I've ever gravitated towards something that is stable. But I do think the otherness factor is something that like I keep pushing of like, I need to make my own friends in LA. I can't just morph into my boyfriend's life right now, or we will literally not have one thing that like we have for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's important where you have, like, I'm working on it in our relationship of explaining like that's not a knock on you and me not wanting to be all with you all times. If anything, it's me literally wanting this to be so it keeps working.
Yeah.
Like, if I only hang out with you, your friends, your family, and everyone in LA, then how am I going to feel good about myself? Like, I don't have anything of my own. The book basically talks about how, like, when you're single and you're, like, starting to date someone, like, you're so attracted to the instability. Daddy gang, think about it. Like, when you start, the beginning dating phase is so fucking fun because you don't know when they're going to text you. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh my God. And then as you start to be like, oh my God, I'm into this person, you crave a little bit more stability because you're like, I have now something to lose. I have feelings in this. But then all of a sudden, it's like you can never win. It's like you either want this instability, so you're like, ooh, I feel on fire and I'm excited. I'm turned on. But then all of a sudden you get into the relationship and there's so much stability. And then it's like, wait, where is that unknown and that like thrilling moment of not knowing what's going to happen? And I'm hoping she's about to give us the fucking answer of like, how do we find the in-between? But I do think that the otherness thing gets so lost on couples.
Yeah.
You get into a rut of just like, like coexisting and like working as one, that the reason that you were attracted to each other is because of individual things about yourselves that were so different than the other. I think it's interesting too, like, what were we talking about with the whole concept of like being alone?
Oh.
And like establishing.
So like the concept of otherness, I think. I don't know if this is exactly what she was getting at, but it's what it made me think of. Like the concept of otherness and like being alone. And like I've been talking about that in therapy a good amount. Because my therapist's first point is you will stay in something too long if you're unable to be alone.
Yeah.
Which I did. I don't like being alone.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better at being alone. And she was like, what is it you don't like about being alone? Initial response is like, I get really bored when I'm alone.
Did she give you any advice though of like?
Well, first she told me to find a hobby. That's when I went through my hobby phase.
That's when you started learning how to like play blackjack.
Yeah. And then in your cabinets in your house, you have a knitting kit and you have a paint my numbers kit.
Yeah. Like I thought you were losing your mind. Lauren's like taking up like every different hobby. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? But like, I get what she's saying. Like find something that you can do alone.
Yeah. You're the opposite.
It's crazy. And I don't think people would expect that. I love being alone.
I know.
I used to think it was so healthy. But now as I'm in a relationship with someone, it's making me realize it's healthy to a point. And I've had my partner look at me being like, I love how independent you are. It's what attracted you like to me. However, my boyfriend has said like, we are in a relationship, Alex. And so I'm having to navigate like, why do I crave so much alone time? I always just go, like, I feel like when we're having issues, like, you seek to just go out and, like, interact with humans. And yeah. I retreat and I just need to be alone.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone's different. I'm sure whoever's listening to this right now, like, you can locate, who are you? Are you the person that you hate to be alone or do you love to be alone? I think for something for me, and I think I remember talking about this with Orna, but, like, I'm realizing that I sometimes make partners feel like rejected and unwanted because of how independent and alone I want to be. And I'm working on that in therapy too. I've started to like do what you're doing, like locate, like, why do I self, like, I just isolate.
And maybe that's a defense mechanism that's been the result of all these unpredictable and unstable relationships that you've previously had.
Yeah. Like it's like by retreating and making them feel alone and insecure, it's like, yeah, it's like protecting me
from the unpredictability because you never knew what was coming next.
Right. So if I remove myself first, like, I'm fine.
Whereas, but I think you're working really hard to reverse and change that now.
Totally.
Like, Vegas was a big step, I would say, for you.
I definitely feel like in the past I never integrated. Boyfriends always felt like I tried to keep them separate from like my friends and my family. And I think with this relationship, I'm really working hard to make my boyfriend feel like
the wall is like broken down. And
yeah.
Like,
and I think for you, it's crazy how like reverse we are, like you never wanting to be alone.
Last week I went to dinner alone.
Dude, that makes me so happy.
And I enjoyed it.
Where did you go?
Panera Bread.
Oh my God. Yeah. Their broccoli cheddar soup.
No, I'm like the bread bowl chicken noodle soup girl.
Oh, okay. Chicken noodle soup. Yeah. That makes me so happy for you. And like, leaning into, like, I'm sure we both just experienced like a little bit of discomfort, like me introducing even him to my parents. I'm like, I love this man, but like, so why is it weird to introduce him? But like breaking out of my comfort zone, it feels, I'm sure you felt that at dinner. You're probably like, wow, why was I so scared to like go to a fucking dinner alone?
Speaking of breaking out of comfort zones, that's actually something I've been working on in therapy recently. And like our new like motto is kind of like, if something arises in life, am I going to open the text message and respond in the moment? Or am I just going to flip my phone face down?
Wait, elaborate. What do you mean? Like, literally, are you saying like literally
about a text?
It started
like literally, but then it kind of came like a metaphor of like, how am I going to handle things in life?
Oh, interesting. Because didn't you used to say like, you literally were at times would like fully avoid things that like.
Fully avoid until like.
That's interesting because I know that's something.
And like avoidance obviously is like manifestation of anxiety.
Right.
For example, this sounds like something maybe small, but when me and you were living together, I went out one night and I lost your purse. You let me borrow your purse and I lost it. And I couldn't even say sorry because that meant addressing it at all. And I don't think I addressed it until like a month and a half later when like other things at that point had happened. It was like that level. And now if that were to happen, I'd be like, Alex, I'm so sorry. I lost your purse. Like, I'll replace it and I'll pay for it. I'm sorry. Like, we're good. I lost your purse. But right. I'm acknowledging it. I'll make it right. And let's move the fuck on.
But I also think, because I know you keep saying this about your therapist being like, Kate, please be easy on yourself. Like, confrontation literally is some people's like most debilitating thought of like to confront.
For me, it was triggering
fully because again, it goes back to your past of like, you want to be the peacemaker. You want everything to be good. You never want things to get.
I never want the boat to be like
rocked. Yeah. Yeah.
We are very, very opposite in a lot of aspects.
Yeah. Which I think is good for a listener listening. They're like, you hopefully are able to like locate who you are in that dynamic. I feel like even just the going back to what we were saying, like you in a relationship are craving stability.
I was, you just read my mind. I think at surface, like in the moment currently, I am absolutely craving intimacy and desire and all that. Like, I was also trying to, like when I was reading this, I was also like, I don't think I've ever been in love.
That's crazy.
Is it? Do you think a lot of people have been in? I'm 26. I'll be 27 in October.
I feel like you have to.
Do you think that's crazy for me not to have been in love? Maybe that I've been in a 7-year relationship and I haven't been in love.
Listen, I don't think it's crazy at all that you, if we're going by age, that by age 26, 27, you haven't been in love. I think it's, and the word crazy is like stupid. I think it's definitely
a little more shocking.
Shocking that you were in a relationship with someone for 7 years and you weren't in love. That is something. But again, there's so many more factors. So anyone that's listening that's like, oh, I'm like fucking 30 or 35 and I haven't been in love. Like, it's okay.
It's fine.
Don't fucking force it.
I don't see myself falling in love anytime soon.
And I don't think you should.
Richard.
No, but I don't think you should unless it feels right. Like, don't fucking force it, because like women feel so pressured.
I think that's the worst, when like you feel like a pressure to fall in love and like you're forcing it.
It's like no, it's okay. Go with like what feels right, not just based off like what society is making you think you have to do. Like, I remember, didn't you say to me, like, you were like, you were joking, but I could feel the undertones of like you actually meaning it, and I kind of want it for you too. You're like, I want to get my heart broken.
Like, I did say that.
Like, Lauren has never felt like, you've never cried on a bathroom floor over like a relationship, like heart-wrenching, like holy fuck, I just got my heart ripped out of my chest. Like, you've had trauma and family shit, but you've never been like, I'm heartbroken, like that was the love of my life.
Like, the closest I can think of like imagining is like high school, but like
that doesn't even count. It's so crazy too, because like I look back,
that's the craziest statement. I want to get my heart broken.
Because you want to feel something.
God.
You literally had 7 years of, you just said, like,
going through the motions of
going
life.
Going through the full motions. Sexually, emotionally, like, mentally, like, all
that.
That
has been, like, I'm not going to underplay that. That has been a very jarring and scary realization I've come to in therapy recently. Like, very how much I slept walk through the last 7 years of my life. I almost said to my therapist, like, it makes me sad for myself, like, did I just waste 7 years of my life? And she was like, no, because if you were feeling everything that, like, you were potentially going to allow yourself to feel, like, look at your list of accomplishments, like, look what you've gotten in life, and, like, you couldn't have, there's no way you could have done both at the same time.
So true.
But
if anyone also has not listened to the season finale of Call Her Daddy, Lauren opened up about, like, trauma in her life, and you've been you went through a very long stint of your life of like fully shutting off, like
dissociation
and not feeling that pain and surviving. And I think that's why you also stayed in a relationship that literally didn't require you
to do anything.
That's why I'm so proud of you. Like, I feel like anyone listening, there's so many reasons people stay in relationships, you know, and like it's so fucking hard when you get out of one. And I was just saying this to you today. I was like, I don't know why I have this in my notes, but I had written this down. Like, what advice would I give myself? Like, I always think that. Like, Alex, you fucking give people advice every day. Like, what the fuck would you tell yourself? And this is something I would give anyone that's going through a breakup. we've all been there for a friend, right? Like you watch a friend go through a breakup and you're giving them like, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. So I always think about this. I'm like, okay, hold on. Think about the last friend you helped get through a breakup. Where are they now? Well, if you look at me, Lauren, if you had helped me through that breakup, yeah. Look at me now. Look at who I'm dating. Look how happy I am. So I needed to like almost locate, like if you've seen every friend of yours go through a breakup and then be okay. And then when it's you, it feels like the end of the world. But be like, wait, hold on. Look at every friend you've ever had that's gone through a breakup. What happens? Everyone always ends up okay. If anything, they usually find something better. So I always just try to think like, I don't know, when it's you, I think it's hard. But you have to look around and try to like relate to other people that are close to you. Of like, okay, everyone gets through a breakup.
If we're on the topic of breakups now, I get a lot of DMs post that episode. How do I like finally like make that decision? And my therapist gave me this really great visual metaphor that helps me do things now.
Oh.
Like imagine yourself standing on the high dive, like a really, really fucking high dive.
Okay.
And like you're looking down and like picture it to the point where like you kind of like feel like your heart flutter a little bit.
Right.
And you're like, okay, like I imagine like you're stepping forward. Like I want to jump off that high dive. Oh, I need to like wait. Like, oh, like it's not the right moment.
Right.
You're not ever going to feel like at ease on that high dive. So it's like a moment in yourself where you have to be like, okay, like 1, 2, 3, go, and literally fling yourself into whatever you're trying to do.
And like that's really good advice.
That's like been my mental visual that I've been using for like, I'm trying to get better at like difficult conversations and confrontation and like speaking up for myself. But people DM me a lot that like, I know I want to do this and I can't do it. And I think that's really helpful.
That's amazing advice, because if you think about it, you eventually have to make a move so you can move forward, and like prolonging it is only going to cause you more anxiety. So yes, you can sit and conceptualize, whether you're talking about confrontation or a breakup or whatever we're talking about, flinging yourself forward to finally take an action allows you to then start
to move forward.
Yeah. Some things are never going to get like, maybe get,
it's never going to be like, okay, I'm really ready to do this.
Yeah.
Now.
Like this is easy.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to just have that mentality of like, whatever it is in life. Like if you're uncomfortable, like lean into the uncomfort and then just be like, there's never going to be a moment where this feels comfortable. Go. Yeah. Just go.
You know what? Now you know what I'm thinking of?
What?
The conversation we were having earlier about just like leaning into like difficult conversations. I guess this is kind of like related that. You are my friend that I have like the deepest and closest bond to, but the relationship that I have to put the most effort into.
That was crazy when you said that to me.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same. Like, you and I have gone through so much, and also, like, a lot to the point of, like, really having to, like, work for certain things.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's definitely, I mean, dude, people even wrote into us about like, how does your relationship work now? Like Alex is over here and you're over here and you two are in such different like places in your life. And like, how do you two like
we are definitely in different places in our life.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, there's some more obvious conversations we have to have too about like money and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
People are probably like, how the fuck does that work?
And dude, that's so true.
It's, you just have to be like open. Like, yeah. I texted you before Vegas, and I'm like, hey, obviously we're going to be doing things in Vegas. Like, I can't split the private plane with you.
Right.
Like, I want you to know I'm aware of these things, and I don't want you, and I want you to know that I'm thinking of these things and acknowledging them. And, like when it was the one dinner, like, all of us were like, hey, like, we're all going to split this dinner. And, like,
it's so, yeah, that's such an interesting concept of, like, I think people are fucking fascinated by that on the internet. They're like, how does this work? Like what is
a lot of therapy and communication. That's
so
how it
much.
Works.
We've done a beautiful job of like, and I would encourage anyone friendship wise. Like, I feel like we've gotten to like the most amazing place of both being like, hey, we both suck at confronting and
we
friendships.
Have to, we're having more conversations of like, I don't want to say confrontation, but like, hey, Alex, this thing happened and I felt a little weird by it.
Yes.
Cause then I think in a lot of friendships, you just brush those under the rug, but yeah. I would say the more you're having these conversations, the more healthy your friendship is.
And it's also, and maybe we're lucky because we've also gotten to a place where we're like,
both in weekly intense therapy.
Yes. And like, and so we both know we're coming from such like good, genuine places.
Like, hey, I've talked to my therapist about this. I put thought into this.
Yeah.
And like, let's discuss. I mean, with your job and with everything, it's definitely like not a normal friendship.
But also I think it's the natural order, I feel like specifically with childhood friends, to like, you go through life, you drift, you move, you'll be in totally different places in your lives at one point and then so on the same page as another. And it, like, I think it's just a matter of putting in effort. I think it's like 2021. It's like everyone can like an Instagram picture and like call that a fucking friendship and like repost on your birthday. But I don't think, or I know, like, that's not enough. I think when you really have a friendship, it's similar to a romantic relationship. In order to maintain friendships through years.
And like have the depth that.
Yeah. Like, you're going to be in different places, but you have to want to work to maintain friendships. Like, the love has to be there. It's not going to work. Like, I would encourage everyone, like, pick up the phone, like FaceTime that person, like ask questions, like listen to problems.
Have nothing to do with
you. Right? Like, you're not always necessarily even going to be able to relate. Like, I feel like you and I, like, we can try to relate as much as we can. But, like, I can't relate to what you've gone through in your childhood. You can't relate to my job right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's some things that are so different, but that's what friends do. Like, they listen and they're there no matter what, even if you can't relate. And sometimes it's better to also be like, talk to me.
And I care.
Exactly.
But going back to speaking about like your job and like where you are specifically currently in life, that's a whole nother aspect of our friendship right now.
Yeah. Which we've literally had to learn together.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy moments.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Lauren, like you can't post that. Or yeah. Like, hey, like you're like, hey, Alex, like I want to go out and be able to like do this and like not have people staring. And like there's so many different things that like. Also, we've grown up since second grade together. So it's also like
this weird like shit. You weren't rich and famous in second grade.
We never had these issues like college, like our drunken college. Like there's a lot of changes in a beautiful way that I think that we're being forced to like
confront head on. Yeah.
But I could encourage anyone that has like a friendship that means something to
them. I think that's another beautiful thing about me being single. Like, I would hide in my relationship and wouldn't push my friendships as deep. But now my friends are the closest people to me. And I want to really work on those relationships and deepen those relationships.
Dude, that's such a good point. I remember, because there's two things. There's one part of you as a friend, when you see your friend, aka when Lauren was in this relationship, I knew that this was not the person for you. I remember knowing, and I never wanted to then, like, ever push you to break up with him. But I think it's hard at times when someone comes to you, you'd have moments of being so frustrated with him or whatever, and then the next day you would be like, yeah, we're going to the park together. So what I'm saying is, I think you were not able to progress in your friendships because on the other end, us, we couldn't go deep with you to even talk the realest shit of like, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
So how are you then going to even have those type of conversations in any other aspect of your life?
I know this goes back to my realization that's been like really heavy, and it's just been like, holy shit, what the
And I think it's hard because as your best friend, like in those moments, I wasn't making up with your boyfriend. You were. But the memories of all the shitty stuff that you had confided me and like shared with me the day before were obviously still present for me, and I'm so protective of you, and then like you guys are off happy at the park, but then I'm like, okay, this guy's a fucking asshole, but does it really matter what I think? Like, I don't know. I think the goal, if I could give anyone advice when you're like, fucking A, my friend won't shut the fuck up about how much her boyfriend does this and this, it's like, I look at that and I feel like the goal is to just be a good friend and listen, and in some cases like not hold grudges. Like, because you don't want your friends to not come to you with the problems. I don't know. It's complicated and it can get messy. But I think when I'm trying to be a good friend in moments like that, I just remember, like, who's number one? Number one for me is Lauren, not some fucking guy. And I'm always going to have your back. So, like, I'm just moving on your pace. Like, whatever you're doing, I'm there for you to listen.
Yeah, I remember during that entire process, like, you never once told me, like, you need to break up with him. The closest you got to saying, like, it needs to end was me telling you like my concerns and you saying, well, if you decide to do this, you have a place to go.
I love you.
I love you.
This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. I am a certified rom-com addict. I love watching movies and shows that are funny and cute and romantic and make me want to cuddle up to Matt, okay? And Prime Video feeds that addiction. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover, and Maya Erskine kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, and really love to rip each other's clothes off. Dare I say, better than the original. My Lady Jane, a hilarious, heartwarming, and sometimes steamy historical reimagining of the story of Lady Jane Grey. You can watch both of these and a whole lot more on Prime Video. You can also indulge in even more rom-com classics by adding channels like Max, Stars, and Paramount Plus. Prime Video, find your favorite flirty rom-coms all in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You know real when you get it, right, Daddy Gang? It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. So ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Tap the banner to learn more. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com.
I feel like I'm finding the beauty in being, like, as much as I joke that I haven't had sex and as much as I joke everyone around me is in relationships, like, yes, I would like to feel a little bit of some connection with someone right now, but, like, I will firmly say, like, I'm not, like, dying and yearning to throw myself into, like, a full-blown relationship. I want to just feel, like, a little bit of spark.
Yes. Like something fun.
Like, yeah, something fun. Yeah. Like, I want to feel, like, that first month fling type of, like,
yeah,
thing. Like, I'm at the point, like, I really don't want to have, not that I don't want to have meaningless sex. I would either have sex if I was really attracted to someone and, like, it was fun and hot in the moment, but, like, yeah, I've gone on, like, a lot of second dates because that my therapist told me, go on second dates.
Yep.
And, like, I'm so fine having sex on the first date.
Yep.
And I haven't had sex on these first or second dates, so I'm just like, I'm not settling for, like,
yeah, you're like, yeah, I don't want to have,
yeah,
it.
Like, and I'm aware and I'm like, I'm just, no,
I think,
but, like, I think what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm really leaning in and finding the beauty of being single and, like,
and also getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
Like you just said, it goes from your friendships to, like, your family. You're like, whoa.
Hello, I'm Lauren and I'm back in society again.
Yeah, like you're like, you literally just, like, got out of a haze, which is scary. However, like I always say to you, exciting.
Yeah.
You now literally have the rest of your life, Lauren, and thank fucking God you did get into therapy.
And I think
and
some people don't
this.
Ever get out of this phase. Haze.
Well, because they don't, because unfortunately, like, they may not have.
It is very, very effortful. I did not just wake up one day post-break and be like, wow, I have clarity and I can see the world. And, like, I know. Like my therapist was like, you, out of, like, my clients, like, she's like, I'm not trying to, like, blow myself, like,
no,
toot my own horn, but yeah, she's like I go to therapy every week and, like, I come with a list of things I want to discuss and, like, I'm working and I think about them in between sessions, and in between sessions something happens, I write a list down, I'm like, this didn't feel right, or hey, my friend texted me this that, like, she was upset and I didn't respond immediately, and, like, I wasn't, like, there for her in the right way, like, why did I do that?
And I think it's beautiful because I think, like you said, it is not effortless. It's not just, no, like, oh yeah, I'm,
no,
here. And listen, like, I think this can relate to everyone. Like, I know I've talked to my therapist about, like, kind of like almost like identity issues that I've been, yeah, having. And I think it's like, no matter who is listening to this, everyone's got their shit of, like, feeling a little discomfort with, like, who am I and, like, what do I want? And I think especially in your 20s, It's a lot.
The more that you like wake up and defog and kind of like open your eyes, the more maybe judgment you might feel on yourself, yep, or like doubt or criticism, because you're no longer coasting.
Yeah. Like now my therapist always says that, Alex, please, I don't want you to judge yourself.
Yeah.
Like I look back on like some of the, like the earlier Call Her Daddy days or whatever, and I'm like, I fucking hate that shit that I like did some certain things or said certain shit.
Like what specifically?
Like it really bothers me when I see comments of people being like, oh, you're the definition of like
misogyny
and whatever. And I'm like, if you like knew who I am, like if you really like, and I'm like, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get there were certain things that like we were portraying for a marketing ploy, but I'm like, that's, you know me, like yeah, that's so not me, you know?
Yeah.
And so like it frustrates me to the core because I know who I am as a person, and it angers me that like.
Do you think you were back then though? Were you?
Yes and no. I think like if you asked me like how to get a guy, like I have the answers for you.
Yeah.
I was in the moment like out of college, like fucking around being like, yo, this is how it fucking works.
Yeah.
Now as I've gotten older though, it, a lot of that was a character. So, and I think it's hard, like having social media, like I'm putting an image out there that like I'm choosing to put out, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm picking parts of myself, but then it does weigh on me when I see comments of like, oh, you're such a misogynistic whatever, and I'm like, oh my god, like you don't get it. I feel like ever since taking over the show on my own and kind of like not hiding behind the mask, like I actually remember like we used to always like on the old show, like we almost always said like we can get away with a lot more shit because like you can't really pinpoint it on one of us. It's like we can just say whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Now that I'm like, it's my show, like I own every word I say, like it started to feel like, oh, then I really need to put more thought into it. That's what I've kind of been doing ever since. And I'm proud of it. But it's also like I was 22 and now I'm 27. What the fuck? Who were you when you were 22? And hopefully, I pray to God, none of you are that same person when you're 27. So growth, people. Okay. And you just watched mine.
I think it's very admirable that like you're looking back and like it shows tremendous growth and like evolution of like you and a character. And I think it's really cool and amazing that like you're bringing this brand and the content like on this journey with you as like, and I'm just really excited to like see where it goes and like have people get to know you more and more and more to like the depth that I do, because I can already feel from like this season especially and the Single Father era, this show is so much more authentic.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I do feel so fortunate that we have each other though, like during this, because like what did I recorded something the other day and you were like, are you okay? You were like, you can't upload that, you sound depressed. Yeah.
You sent me that. I'm like, Alex, I literally called you. I'm like, before I like tell you if I like this or not, are you okay?
Yeah, I think anyone listening, like it's a weird time in the world.
Yeah.
We just came out of
I was just gonna say that.
We just came out of a fucking global pandemic. You were either so alone, you're not in a relationship, you're in your 20s, you're either in college, you're getting out of college, you're in a marriage, like wherever you are listening to this, you're in high school, whoever you are. It's a weird fucking time. So if you're solo and you're alone, you're having a lot of thoughts of what you want and what kind of relationship you'd want. And if you're in a relationship, you're having a lot of either introspective moments of why am I in this relationship? Or like me, I've definitely had a lot of moments of like, have I been a fucking shitty partner at times?
Yeah, you called me like 2 weeks ago and you're like, I just had a come to moment of like, whoa, I need to take accountability here.
Yeah. This is the first relationship I feel like I want to put all I have into it, and so there's
you don't have that like
I don't give
oh
a
fuck it
yeah,
like whatever
it.
happens like oh fight bye mentality
bye. Yeah, I'm like, going to Vegas
like,
alone.
Yeah, you're in like the mentality of like, oh, if something were to happen, like I'm gonna fight.
Yes, that's what
not fight with him, fight for us.
Yes, like I'm gonna fight for it and I'm gonna actually like look inward. Is this even a book club anymore?
I don't think so. Esther's going to listen to this and be like, I didn't say any of this. What are you guys talking
about?
She's
like, you quoted me literally one line and I haven't heard one reference to the book. Esther, we're obsessed with you, but we just got in our
You rejuvenated our brains.
You did. I literally feel like so awake and alive
right
now.
That was the Vegas detox I needed reading, Esther.
I have tea and soup literally directly next to me. And
Henry
I have
under my toes.
Yeah. And I have a blanket on me and we're laying on the couch and it's a beautiful morning. Like, this is the vibe. I guess as we're wrapping up also, Lauren, like, because guys, book club will be coming. I do actually want to debrief it more. But on the wave of just like talking about our in our feels, you had therapy this morning.
7 a.m. call time, baby.
It's terrifying. And I think your therapist gave some amazing advice about dating, because on top of all of this, Lauren was kind of like let down by someone she was talking to in her own mind, kind of, right? Like you built it up in your head.
Yeah.
And if you go back and read text now, you're like, oh, wait, he was giving me no contextual clues that he wanted to do X, Y, Z. I was like building it up.
Yeah.
And what did your therapist say?
That is dating. That in the process of dating, you idealize someone and you fantasize what they could be because you don't really know anything about them yet. And quite often you're wrong and you're let down and it's disappointing, but that's dating. And in dating, you have to be prepared to be disappointed, to be let down, to be hurt. And if you can't handle that, you're not ready to date. But she looked at me and said, you're ready, Big Lair.
Dude,
get on that horse.
Also, you literally told your therapist, you're like, I want to have sex. She's like, okay, how did you say it?
I was like, you know, like, I haven't had sex in months. And like, I really just want to have sex.
She's like, okay. What did she say?
So she was like, you just want to fuck someone.
You're like, yes.
Yes, I do. And she was like,
all right, get out there, girl.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, and I would like to wrap up on this. Everyone that's in the dating game right now, when you told me that, Lauren, I told you in the car, I relate to that so much in dating. Like, specifically, it brings back memories of when I started, like, first talking to the Canadian.
Yeah.
I remember I was, like, so, like...
Give me the specifics that you told me this morning.
It was so cringe.
No, give it, though.
Okay. So, I had, like, ended things with... I was, like, on the rocks with Door Number 3 and Slim Shady. And so, I met the Canadian. And he is, like, a Leo, outgoing, like, so successful. Like, net worth looks good on Google. Like, all of it was looking good. And I'm not kidding you. When I met this man, I had literally gone on like 2 dinner dates with him while he was in town playing the fucking Rangers. And I started fantasizing about like, oh my God, he told me he has this lake house in like right on the lake in Canada. And like after his season is done, I'm going to go to the lake house and go on his boat with him. And like this would be perfect because like my dad has always said, like if you're going to have a freaking, if you're going to date an athlete, like date the hockey players. They're the best guys. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to date a hockey player. I had literally
started planning
our life together. I had not
after
even
two dates.
I had not even had sex with him yet.
Been there.
Fast forward, we had like 3 more fucking FaceTime dates, and I realized this guy's personality is annoying as fuck. And I had literally pictured me in my bikini on his dock, and I stopped. Lauren's filming me, and I was like, "This is gonna be my husband." In what world was I living in? The point is, I'm realizing, like, damn, when you start dating, you literally immediately start to, like, you go home after that date night, and if you liked them a tiny bit, you start to literally go on a rant in your head of how it could work and what would work about it and where you two could go and what could happen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you need to look inward and be like, hold on. Imagine saying this out loud to this person because they are not on the same page as me.
Yeah.
You're literally projecting your wants, and that has it's literally probably has nothing to do with actually who they even are.
So I was projecting that I was going to have a sex marathon.
And this man
and now,
literally
looking back,
he can,
that was a big projection and fantasy that I was spinning in my head that was not going down in real life.
You were the rebound and he didn't want to have sex with you.
My therapist said it's first. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true. So, Daddy Gang, when you're dating out there, just be aware of your projections versus reality, you fucking psychos. I love you, Daddy Gang. That is it for this week's episode. I hope you guys don't feel too low and down. It can't get much worse than me and Big Lair this week.
We're low.
We're low.
We're down.
But we're coming back up, baby.
But we're going to hold each other.
Because I am just counting down the days till I get my ass back in fucking Vegas.
Actually, I want to go to Miami.
Dude, before Vegas, I know you want to go back with Kygo. Before we go to Vegas, actually, we're going, I think, to New York.
Okay.
For New York Fashion Week.
And you know what I'm not going to do when we go to New York?
Text your ex.
I'm not going to text my ex.
I'm so proud of you. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Director's cut.
I'll tell you a little something. I got to the dentist today.
And they told you you've been sucking too many dicks.
They told me that I have TMJ strictly from the amount of dicks that I've sucked in my lifetime. Listen
caution,
to this.
Caution, side effect of Gluck Gluck 9000.
Dick
TMJ.
Sucking. Can you guys hear this clicking? This is my jaw.
Whenever you eat, I'm like, oh, God.
Dude, when I make out. Oh, wait, no, but this is the fun part. This weekend, which will have been now last weekend when you're listening to this, we just found out. I can't even.
The eagle has landed.
And he's back. And he's fucking richer than ever. Richard! Guys, Richard is back, is now in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So we have a group text, me, Big Alan, Richard.
And Richard and Marshmallow are in LA this weekend. And now we're like, whoa. So the last episode, Richard and Marshmallow were in Vegas, and now they're back in LA.
So now Vegas is coming to LA this weekend.
And we're going to rage for two straight days again.
With Richard and Marshmallow.
And what we do know is self-awareness. And what we do know is that...
What did we learn from last trip?
Times are fun. That, and I learned don't eat scallops when you're...
No, it wasn't the scallops. It was the espresso shots.
Right. And then you just vomited scallops. But the moral of the story is we're about to go out this weekend again, even though I shouldn't be... Like, I was like, I'm not going to drink this weekend, but I am. So we're about to have, like, a situation...
I'm still sexless, in case
you thought you were literally about to say I'm still sexy.
In case you were wondering if I've had sex from the start of this episode until now, I have not.
Maybe this weekend
with Richard.
Maybe you'll meet someone this weekend.
That could be fun. Sorry, Richard, I love you,
but like,
but I think we gotta call it what it is. And we're just a good makeout.
Yeah, facts.
Hello, I need Lauren McMullen to get the fuck out of Los Angeles, California immediately. You guys, I was going to end this episode in the director's cut talking about how Lauren and I, oh, Richard's in town. Richard has never been more in town. Let me be very clear. Lauren and I went out. We had a very fun night.
We brought Las Vegas to LA.
It was,
we can't speak of it.
Literally.
We can't talk about what happened last night.
That's how bad.
And we talk about a lot of things that happened.
But we literally can't.
We cannot speak of the events that unfolded last night.
We literally said that we would never discuss what we did last night on the podcast. That is when you know. Also, everyone out last night was like, oh my God, like flirting with Richard. And Richard told us that he got his dick sucked.
That while listening to the last episode about him, he was getting his dick sucked. And then we started chanting, Richard.
He was like, honestly, it's really helpful. Thank you.
And then we met a girl who was like country club man, was talking to a girl before Vegas who was her friend. And she started listening. And the girl heard the episode that I got my nipples licked.
And she was like, what the fuck? And Lauren was like, oh, sorry.
He called me.
So that was the beginning of our night.
That was the harmless stuff.
That was literally at the very beginning of our night.
Last night at Nobu, Richard jumped onto the table and started dancing and kicked off a candle and shattered it.
Also, yeah, we got to stop there.
Yeah, we can't say anything else.
There was a lot of...
A lot more went down.
There was a lot of weird shit that happened. Also, it started in the bathroom.
What bathroom?
When we met that girl.
When I thought I lost my phone and it was just in your pocket the entire time.
And then fun time Jesse came over and was like, do you want a little something? Something!
To take the edge off.
And then we said... no. And then we said, oh, wait, yeah, we just won't podcast about it because we're not going to glamorize drugs anymore. And that is how this story goes.
Let's just say.
Lauren got it in.
Let's just say my streak of no sex summer might be over. I literally got it in last week in the summer. Wow.
That's true.
I just made it in the nick of time.
And that, everyone, is how we are going to officially end book club. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. What the fuck? We're talking about my shit and you're just casually like, oh yeah? You had sex?
Yeah.
What is his dick like?
It's a good dick.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.